Greetings in Christ, I'm Pastor James Baumgartner. The New Testament reading for today is from Mark 16, 1 through 20. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. You've certainly heard the phrase before that when God closes a door, he opens a window, or something to that effect. The idea, of course, is that you could very well be heading in what you think is the correct direction, but soon enough the path before you is gated shut, locked, and double locked, leaving you scrambling to figure out what to do next. But because you know God is sovereign, you trust that he'll provide you with a new direction, an alternate path that better aligns with his perfect will. In a sense, I guess you could say that our text for today gives us a first century version of that phrase. Mark 16 leads us across the dark horizon of Holy Saturday into the breaking joy of Easter morning. It's just after the sun peeks into the expanse of the sky that we encounter three women with their feet set on a path that leads towards death. At least, that was their expectation. Apart from the words of Jesus, they had no other reason to assume otherwise. So in that sense, we could say that they actually expected the door to be closed. They envisioned the stone to be blocking the entrance to the tomb. They envisioned the dead body of Jesus to be locked away in the darkness on the other side. They envisioned their hearts to continue in their grief. It was locked doors, closed windows, and a hopeless mourning. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of that tomb? After the death of his beloved wife, C.S. Lewis wrote a little book called A Grief Observed. In that, he writes, "When you are happy, so happy you have no sense of needing God, so happy that you are tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption, if you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence." There are easily times in your life when it feels that way, that not only is the door closed, but the windows are sealed up tight, and the warm embrace of your loving God has given way to the feelings of isolation and loneliness and despair. Friends, welcome to the quiet moments of darkness before the true light of Easter morning. Like the women that day, we often find ourselves losing track of the promises and the truths that our Lord has placed before us. We forget the living hope we have in a living Savior who did in fact open the grave and burst forth from the dead and paved the way into heaven's throne room. Not only has Jesus opened the door before us, but Jesus himself is the door set before us, and his grace is sufficient for you because his power is made perfect in weakness. So thanks be to God in the darkest moments of your life. Beyond your wildest hopes and your wildest dreams, the King of Kings has already stepped forth into life, and he holds the victory, a victory over sin and death and the devil, a victory that he is faithful to offer you in loving grace. No matter your emotions, your fears, your struggles and pain, nothing can change the reality of his victory. Nothing can change the reality of his joy. And so open your eyes, dear child of God. The new day is dawning. The glorious light of God's salvation is shining brightly. The door is open. The grave is defeated. And the very gift of new life, eternal life, is yours right now through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior and your friend. To him be the glory now and forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, through the resurrection of your Son, you have secured peace for our troubled consciences. Grant us this peace evermore, that trusting in the merit of your Son, we may come at last to the perfect peace of heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.